Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for December 10th, 2007, episode number 52. Welcome back, folks, to the Angry Admins Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Ryan Necessary.
And as always, I'm that other guy, Joe Bibby.
The other guy. This week, we're going to be talking tech as usual. We got some stuff to hash out and to complain about and to sing praises of.
Yes.
Maybe not everything, but
yes.
We'll jump into some of that. First up, the SAFE Act passed the House a few days ago. This is basically a bill that went through the House of Representatives that says if an ISP sees any kind of child pornography type stuff, that they have to report it. And as soon as this came out, everyone was like, oh no, the mom and pop coffee shops are going to have to turn into internet police and all that kind of stuff. But it also says you're not required to monitor. You're not required to investigate.
Okay.
You're only required, if you stumble across it, to report it to somebody.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, that makes right. I mean,
you should be doing that anyway.
Right. And pretty much if you see a bank robbery happen and you're the only one that sees it and you don't report it, I mean, that's against the law. So.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it is. So.
Anyway, I guess what I'm saying is I don't care about this.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
I guess this is just, you know, what happens in the blogosphere when...
the government's getting in our tubes.
Right. Well, or it comes from just headline reading. You know, you're bored at work and you're skimming the headlines and you see this and you're like, man, that's terrible. And you spam it to your blog and then it spams out to everybody.
Right.
And everybody wants to be the first one to talk about it, so that's kind of too bad.
Right. So anyway, I think that was kind of a non-event. It's like you're saying, it was one of those things that didn't really matter, and then everyone made a huge deal out of it and complained about it, so.
Well, I'm glad to hear it didn't matter, because I was one of those headline readers that kind of glanced at it and thought, oh, that sucks. More of our freedoms eroding away. Oh, well, move on. Just another day.
They can't tell me what to do. Right, right.
So next thing, I saw something interesting this week on QuickTime exploit that has been demoed in the wild. Now, this is only on the Windows version of QuickTime, apparently.
Okay.
Which Apple is notoriously bad at coding for Windows. QuickTime has always had major vulnerabilities on the Windows side. And then Safari, when it came out for Windows, was terrible.
Well, my iTunes on my Mac versus my Windows, it's painful on Windows the way it acts.
Yeah, it just doesn't run well. But anyway, that's another story. So there's an exploit in QuickTime that basically lets you send code to another person and run it. And then apparently... It can even cause like a secondary package to come and run that. So you can do some major damage. And Second Life, which is the, that big kind of a massively multiplayer sandbox environment, uses QuickTime for all of its in-game video. So you can actually set up like fake TV screens and that kind of stuff, and it'll play QuickTime movies. So these security researchers... made this really sweet exploit that as soon as someone walks by one of these videos playing, it causes them to like writhe in pain almost, and then they shout, "I've been hacked," in a text, not like an actual voice, but still it's pretty sweet. But the best part of it all is that it sent $12 Linden to the attacker's account.
This is the in-game currency,
right? Which can be converted to real money.
So I wonder if they're going to give any of the money back to all the people.
There's even, in the story we found, there's a video of it actually happening, and it's hilarious. I mean, the guy's just walking by, and then he's shouting, "I've been hacked."
Zap.
Gives the guy 12 Linden bucks.
Man, we just need the real-life version of that. Maybe that's what marketers really are trying to get us to, right? Taking over our mind. So, speaking of crappy marketing, our good friends at CompUSA are now no more. So it was like 10 months ago that they announced, you remember that, oh, we're going to close half our stores, but we're not done. You know, they're going to get this big cash infusion. They were going to remake their image. They were going to like refocus and move to markets where they didn't have such stiff competition, but it didn't matter. So yeah, CompUSA, like them or hate them, they're definitely going away.
Yeah, into I think I read they're actually, didn't they already sell the entire company to some like, I don't know what it is. Basically, this other company is taking the next year to just sell everything off.
Right. It's the Gordon Brothers Group, which is it says it's a restructuring firm.
Yeah, that's it.
That basically just takes apart companies and sells off all their junk. So, now our local CompUSA closed here back during
the last pass
because there was a Best Buy and a Fry's like literally right across the street. So we kind of, oh, great, there's going to be these awesome for sales and deals, and we're going to get stuff negative.
Yeah, there was nothing
good. It sucked. I mean,
everything you wanted was maximum 15% off.
Right, and all the good stuff, like all the games and
the high-def TVs,
they all, you know, they kept the price high on those till the very last.
Yeah, you could get a really good deal on, you know, an iPod case.
Yeah, or some an old parallel printer cable or something right. like that.
Yeah.
Gee, thanks, guys.
I don't know.
You're the awesomest. So no more deceptive CompUSA rebate
schemes. That's good.
That's a nice thing.
That was always a problem. I had several rebates that I never got from them. I'd stop shopping there because of the rebates.
Yeah.
Not that I stopped shopping there. I just wouldn't buy something because of the rebate.
When I took my Mac in for service, they did a good job with that.
Yeah.
They kept me up to date and gave me status and fixed it very fast. So
that's good.
My one maintenance experience with them, service, was a good experience. But
yeah. And I actually ended up taking mine in there, too, and had a good experience. So didn't take them very long. Although I think they send it off to an Apple store.
Yeah. So maybe all they did was like... put a stamp on the box.
But they did keep me up to date, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Which most places don't do that. You call them and you can't get a hold of anybody. And
yeah. I think Fry's told me it was going to be 6 months. They had to put it on a train or
something. Apple, what's that?
You're right. Anyway, so that's that.
Yeah, so that's kind of too bad. We did get an update on... Did you see the update you got on your 360?
I did.
This week or the week before?
Yeah, it was like last week. So I did get the fall update.
Right.
I'm like doing the little quotey things with my fingers right now. Fall update. See that?
Quotes.
Yes. So I did get it, and I really can't tell much of a difference.
Yeah. They added some features and things. You can stream Xvid and DivX to it now, which is kind of cool. You know, for all those home videos that you've converted.
Yes. Of my children that I don't have.
Yes. And I tested that out this week, which was pretty nice. And actually, I tested it out on my Mac with an app I found this week called Kinect 360, which is not free, $20, but basically it emulates a Windows box from your Mac. So all you Mac users out there with a 360, you can use that to stream. But, you know, it was pretty cool. Some cool stuff they added too, like they have this news thing. What is it called?
Oh, right. It's like
Inside Xbox or something. And it's not bad. I don't know if I'll keep looking at it, but...
Yeah, there's the Friends of Friends now.
Yeah, and you can buy original Xbox games and download them to your Xbox now.
Mm, right.
Though I did read that if it didn't work very well as a disc, like all the bugs that came with it are still there in this software version.
Yeah.
So I guess that's good and bad, but...
Man.
I do like the movie previews are now full screen.
Mm.
Which is nice, because before it was about 2 inches on my 40-inch screen.
Yes, that was kind of tragic.
It was very pathetic. It actually made me angry.
It did not motivate me to buy movies on my Xbox. Not that I've ever done that.
Yeah.
I bought a couple of TV shows on it just to try it out, but...
Mm-hmm. It still takes forever to download stuff.
I think I put $10 on my... $10 worth of points on my thing, and I still have, like, $4 of it. And that was, like, a year ago, so...
That's funny.
Their marketing needs to do better.
So, I was just thinking about this QuickTime exploit we talked about. It gets me thinking about, you know, like security versus usability kind of stuff. And, you know, you deal with this in a corporate environment a lot. I don't know, where do you come in on that? I kind of feel like I kind of lean towards the usability side of things. And, you know, if it's a little unsafe, but they can get their work done faster, then I'm all for it. But I think that's just... me not caring about security too.
Well,
enough.
I've always,
I don't know.
So with this argument, I've always have this like three phase thing that I throw out
mm-hmm.
as trying to be someone who sounds smart. So phase one is like availability.
Okay.
Like, is the server even up? Can people even get to it?
Right.
Is the license even out there for the software to talk to? Is there disk space available for them to write their files? You know, so this is the availability, like
mm-hmm.
basically get the thing out there and get it alive. That's phase one. Phase two is reliability. You know, is the thing still there a week later? You know, can my Linux server run 30 days without a reboot?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if it's available but not reliable, then if I'm always having to like reboot it or hold on, I got to keep restarting all these services, then that's
right.
a giant waste of time and no one's going to use it.
Right.
So then finally, when you beat that, you know, when it's all implemented and rolled out and it's reliable, then finally the last thing you do is you come back and you lock it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know other people were like, oh, you're backwards, man.
Yeah.
You need to lock it down first and only open just a little tiny thing. It's just enough to let them do their job. But that's just me. I'd rather lock it down last.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I mean, what good is it if my house is so secure I can't get in it at night? If I'm sleeping in the grass, how happy am I going to be about my house?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be very happy. And your users feel the same way when they can't get into their own computers.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, it is tough to make that call on what is usable because I think, you know, we tend to want be able to jump through more hoops to get things done than you know, the average user would be willing to do. But there's also, you have to keep a balance of are the users complaining about these security things because they're just used to doing it a different way, or is it really because it makes it a lot harder? I think in general, you know, our users anyway are pretty honest with us and we'll complain. Well, they'll complain about everything, but they'll complain only about the things that really affect their job.
Well, I think part of it too is that the security people a lot of times are, that's their only job.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're not responsible for any of the availability or the reliability phase of it. So they don't care. Their only job is to secure it and lock it down. So, you know, if your users are not getting to it,
yeah, they don't care.
They're not shedding a tear about that. As
right.
long as they're as long as they can say it has the latest patches, it's not being exploited, it's not being hacked, it's not spreading worms.
Mm-hmm.
Their part of it's done, and the rest is your problem.
Right.
You know, and this is in that environment where the security guys are different than the administrators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's all one guy or woman, but
person.
Yes. Simulant.
That's right.
But I don't know. And most of my experience has been in that world where the security guys are their own team, and that is just what they do. And they're sometimes can be less than sympathetic
mm-hmm.
to, you know, trying to make sure your users can still do their job.
Well, I think you said it best when we were talking about this earlier, when you were talking about how, you know, your goal is to make computers transparent. And just keep them as a tool and not something that has to be managed by the user. You know, our job is to make it available for them to do their job better,
mm-hmm.
not to get in the way.
Right. It's like my car. I want my car to be something I just hop in, start, and drive to work.
Right.
And jump out of. I don't want to get in it every day and go, man, is this thing going to start?
Mm-hmm.
Man, are my brakes going to fail? Man, what's that loud noise coming from the engine? I don't want to have those thoughts as I'm driving
mm-hmm.
to work. You know, I want a reliable car that I don't have to think about. You know, and that's what I try to make computing for users is
exactly.
something that they don't have to think about.
I think that's a really good attitude. I think more people need that attitude. It's hard. It's easy to get in the mindset of, you know, I'm here. I want to make you understand that I'm important. So
right.
let me make this difficult for you.
I'm gonna close the valve
right.
on your IT until you do what I say.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that stuff's tragic. Did you hear about the GameSpot editor?
Oh yes. What was that guy's name?
So Jeff Gerstmann.
Yeah, yeah.
I only know that because I've got the thing in front of me here. So we're talking GameSpot, which is a game review site, and the problem is they had sold so much advertising on their website
mm-hmm.
for the game Kane and Lynch, which just came out.
Mm-hmm.
Then
I may have heard of that.
Yes, I will be taking you to task about that in a second. so most of the games that ever come out get between like 7.5 and a 10, you know. So the lead game editor or whatever gave it like a 6,
yeah.
which is like maximum failure. So, of course, the publishers and the developers were very unhappy mm-hmm. and decided to yank a bunch of advertising and were threatening to pull like millions of dollars of future advertising off their site.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much this guy wound up losing his job. Now, I think there was like a settlement. I think he got like 6 months severance pay or something like that mm-hmm. in exchange for not talking about this.
Right.
Or not saying, yeah, I was canned because of this. But it brought to light, you know, a lot of the podcasts this week have been talking about, you know, what happens when you try to review something objectively where your parent business is selling advertising for mm-hmm. that thing. Can you be objective?
Well, the other issue is people have suspected GameSpot of doing this for a long time.
Right. And Penny Arcade, you know, they just had a thing recently about they were talking about reviewing mm-hmm. and how it was very difficult for professional reviewers because they're in such a hurry to finish the game
right.
that a lot of times they get the wrong impression or they don't take their time, and that, you know, there almost are no real reviews of games because, mm-hmm. you know, it's their job, and how can it be fun if it's your job?
Right.
And,
right.
you know, you're trying to rate how fun is the game and you're trying to rush through it. And they talked about all that. So it's been an interesting time, you know, right here along with the launch of all these games for the Christmas season has been this giant explosion of issues around, you know, what makes a good game? Are any of these games being reviewed honestly?
Mm-hmm.
And does advertising on a certain website taint, you know, you know, how much you trust that review?
Right.
And then after all this negative press about Kane and Lynch, I'm looking on my friends list. What do I see? Joe Bibby playing, but Kanan Lynch.
Yeah,
and I thought,
so...
oh, well, he must have just read all this news, and he must be laughing, and he must have just downloaded the demo.
No, I own the game.
You bought
I bought
the
it.
Game.
Now, let me give a little explanation. I was given a $50 gift card, and my rule that I give myself with gift cards is that I buy things I would be less likely to normally buy.
Okay.
Because it's like free money.
Right.
So... I see Kane and Lynch on the shelf, and I've read the reviews, and the reviews have all been negative, but I read the reviews, and I think, that's a game I could actually enjoy, even though it's a 6, and after beating the game in a weekend,
mm-hmm.
it's a 6, but it's probably the most fun I've had playing a 6.
And I guess in a sense, you didn't have to quote-unquote pay for it.
Yes. So, let me tell you about this game. It's... the thing that was kind of dumb, I mean, I went into it knowing a little bit about it, and the title makes you think that these two guys are going to like work together and you're going to, you know, get to know you don't really get to know the characters.
Yeah.
And they have this like judgment call at the end that is very separate from the story. Like, it doesn't fit in with the story that there would be a judgment call there to make.
Yeah.
But that aside, it's fun. You just run around, you're shooting stuff, you know. It reminded me a lot of Mercenaries. I don't know if you ever played that.
I didn't.
But without the vehicles, which I was disappointed with no vehicles, too.
And that game was very well reviewed, by the way.
Yes, it was. It was an excellent game.
Same publisher.
But it felt that it was, you know, third-person action, though this was a lot more linear. But I don't know. It was a fun game to play over the weekend. Now, it fails on several levels. The hitbox, I guess it would be called, when you're shooting a target is pretty inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
If like the person is turned to the side, you can hit them in the arm and it doesn't do any damage.
Mm-hmm.
There's some like serious balance issues, because there were parts of the game that literally took me an hour and a half to get through what should have taken maybe 5 minutes. I just kept having to play it over and over and over. It just went from easy to impossible.
Wow.
And then there was the multiplayer, which sounded really fun. It's called, they call it Fragile Alliance, and you're basically working together with a group of other team trying to rob a bank,
mm-hmm.
and then you can betray them and steal all their money, and then if you escape, you like get all these bonuses. And then when you die, you become a SWAT officer that you go back in and try to kill those guys. It doesn't work at all. At all. Mm. I played it maybe 3 or 4 times. And for one thing, it's so like laggy that there's this one time Last time I played, this guy that won, he got through it all. Basically, he figured out that you can just spin in circles. Like, if you spin around and then kind of move that way, nobody can hit you because of the problem with the hitbox. So he's getting shot, and I'm watching him get shot, but he's just slowly moving, spinning around in a circle. And that was really, I mean, that ruins a game, having something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Plus, the whole, like, idea of being able to kill your friends doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you betray somebody, everybody else shoots you. So there, you just stop having that motivation.
Right. It's sort of a self-canceling thing, I guess. So. Yeah.
Plus, there's only like one level to play too, so it was really lame. But
like you said, you didn't really have to really pay for it, and you had fun with a single player.
I probably should have just rented it for, you know, $10 or whatever it is now to rent a game. It's worth renting for a weekend if you're bored. But I should have bought Mass Effect.
Yes, you should. I'll loan it to you. I'm almost done with it. No, but that's cool. But that's, it is interesting. We'll see if that, if Jeff Gerstmann winds up as an editor at some other site. So he gets to kind of walk away with probably 6 months pay and his quote unquote journalistic integrity. If he really liked any of his reviews.
I don't know. I stopped reading GameSpot a while ago because I didn't really feel like the reviews matched up with anything I liked.
Yeah, I pretty much just read Penny Arcade now.
Yeah,
maybe base it off of that.
So. Yeah, I read one up still.
But I don't know. That's cool. All right, folks, that's going to wrap up episode 52. Feel free to stop by our website, angryadmins.com, if you have anything good or bad to say to us. We are objective, and we always read comments, though we don't always respond. Although, generally, I think we've never not answered an email.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Feel free to...
I mean, we get so many, it's hard to keep up.
We do. We have to take turns reading all of them. We're like Santa Claus. That's how many we get.
But, you know, it will be our personal reply.
It will. Either that or my secretary. Or her secretary. Until next week, I am Ryan Necessary.
I'm Joe Bibby.
Stay angry.